Hello. You are listening to Bessard Radio. You are Bessard Radio. Bessard Radio.
Hello, everyone. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
Welcome to Mass Art Radio. You're listening to Did You Know You Missed This on WBCALP 102.9 FM Boston, Boston's community radio station. Like I said, this is Did You Know You Missed This? Yay!
Woohoo!
Yeah!
Episode 2.
We are also online at massartradio.com. If you want to check it out, go ahead. We have an archive of all of our different broadcasts and some other little things, too. DJ sets, Vox Pops, cool stuff. Cool stuff over there. I'm Kevin. I'm one of the hosts today. And here's my co-host, Elias.
Hi, I'm Elias.
Here's my co-host, Richie.
Hi, I'm Richie.
And here's my co-host, Eddie.
Hi, I'm Eddie.
All right. Awesome. I forgot to start the timer, but that is okay. Pretend that I did that. So, guys.
Did you know you missed this?
Did you know you missed this?
Did you know you missed this?
Did you know you missed this? Elias, did you know you missed this?
I'm not a poser. I'm not going to do what you guys do just because you're doing it.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
I see how it is.
This guy thinks he's so cool. Thinks he's so freaking cool. He's not. All right. Well, why don't we get into it? Did you know you missed Katamari Damacy? Oh my gosh, my favorite video game. Let me just say that. I love Katamari Damacy. It is honestly the best video game I've ever played. It was developed by Namco, created by designer and artist Kieta Takahashi. This surreal game has become a cult classic in the gaming community. It is literally my favorite game. You roll around a little ball called the Katamari. It's freaking awesome. Wow. So despite like a bunch of sequels, like We Love Katamari, Touch My Katamari, so many sequels, it's had 2 remasters. It's received tons of awards, and nominations for different awards. And it's literally in the permanent collection, of the MoMA. Of the video game archive in the MoMA.
Whoa.
Really?
Yeah. It's crazy cool. A lot of people haven't heard of it. Even like your average gamer probably hasn't heard of it. It's such a surreal, like avant-garde game. You roll around this big ball, you pick up different things. It's sick, but it also has like a fun little story that you really don't get unless you're paying attention in the game. Before I get into more of that, why don't I play a song for you guys from this soundtrack? This song is called Lonely Rolling Star from the Katamari Damacy OST. And its vocals are by Saki Kabata, which I'll get into a little bit of the story behind those vocals. But let's get started. Thank you. I love Shibuya K. That is the genre of music from this video game, the main genre that they call upon. And it's a Japanese genre, like pop genre, that is so based upon just sampling. Constant sampling. Ooh. Sample this, sample that. You heard a little phone ring in there?
Oh,
that
yeah.
was sample. Oh my God, I love sampling. Guy who loves sampling. Wow, this had really good samples.
Do you know what musician I think you'd really like?
Mm.
Graham Kartner.
Ooh.
He does, I once heard someone describe his music as, it has more samples than Costco. Like every single sound he uses is like, it's, he plays samples like a piano. Like in one song you can hear very vaguely, it sounds like Bart screaming.
Oh my gosh, I love that. How did everyone enjoy the song?
That was one of the most delightful little songs I have ever heard. It was so like upbeat and fun.
It's so good, especially when you're playing the game. It's like you have a certain allotted amount of time to roll around your big Katamari, which is like the ball that you have to pick up a bunch of different items on Earth with. And it just makes you want to keep going. Go, 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 go. It's so fun.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit familiar with the game. I'm not particularly a gamer, but one of my friends is like, she plays games.
She plays games.
She has like Katamari Reroll.
Yeah, that was the remaster.
Yeah, Calamari Rigamarole, as some may call it.
some may say Calamari Rigamarole.
The song like really matches what I know from like the visuals of the game, especially when I think about like that bright green color of that little guy.
Oh, the prince.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the game, so the guy that you play as, his name is the prince. He's the prince of all cosmos. And in the original game, your dad, the king of all cosmos, the king of kings, drunkenly in a rage, destroyed all the stars and planets of the solar system. And now you, as the little prince, have to build all the stars and build all the constellations and planets again, using all the stuff that's just on Earth. So you go around and roll it all up and make a star. And it's all on you. It's all on you. And in the second game, you learn more about why the father is like that. It's definitely a game, like there's the game itself is just super fun, super happy, but like the story in the game, especially as you keep playing, like the sequel, you learn it's a little bit about generational abuse and like the cycles of abuse that continue on. Like if your father is mean to you, and his father was mean to him and his and so on and so forth, there's just a cycle of abuse that continues in the family. And I don't know, it's really interesting to me. It's really meaningful as a game. I love this video game.
The one I played had the dad went into a coma and was replaced by a robot dad. I'm just wondering how that would connect to a more serious topic.
Well, the game itself is not that serious. You can really look into it and make it super serious. You can talk about how, oh, it's about consumerism and all the stuff on Earth. You're rolling up and you just see how much waste we create as a species. But I don't know. On the surface level, it's just a fun little game where you roll around a ball and then you make more things out of that ball. And it's fun.
I think that's like the best kind of media or video game specifically is the ones that have like a deeper story. But you mm-hmm. don't have to, like, pay attention too hard. Like, of course, you want people to pay attention to the story and, like, have meaningful thoughts about it. But at the same time, it's nice when it's digestible anyways. Because games like Portal will do that, where you could follow the story. But at the end of the day, you can just play the puzzles.
Yeah, you can just play the little puzzle. And you can make your little ball. Or you can really look into it like I do and be like, wow, this game is so meaningful to me. And it talks so much about such topics that I appreciate and will
says
always continue.
It says a lot about society.
It says a lot about society.
I mean, that's what we're doing with the show. We're just taking stuff we like and saying a bunch of stuff about it.
Yeah.
Well, you could have missed Katamari, but you also could have missed something else talking about society. Oh, society.
Hey, the Joker 2 trailer comes out tonight.
Oh, wow.
As we record it. Yeah, so
yeah.
Society.
Society.
Yeah.
Well, and let's get into
Lady Gaga.
With Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
Ooh la la. Let's get into our next segment.
Sorry.
No, you're okay. You are okay. We're just gigglers today, guys. I'm sorry. We're giggling today.
It's a good day. It's sunny out for once.
Yeah, it's really nice outside. Oh, you guys, you should step outside and enjoy the sun if you want.
We're really dating this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You guys want to know, like, what time and what date and everything?
No. What's our next subject
here? Yeah, let's get into our next subject, actually. So let's talk a little bit more about society.
Have you ever come home from a long day at work and thought, man, that was really uncomfortable? Not only did I feel alienated by the environment and the people in it, but I also felt like I was constantly at risk for being penalized for breaking rules that I either didn't understand or didn't know about in the first place. Not only that, but the constant grind of my work life is seemingly chipping away at my ability to maintain a conscious and healthy state of mind. I wonder if these exact feelings have ever been recreated in the form of a Hitman video game. You probably thought everything but that one last bit, but basically that's what Cruelty Squad is. Every iota of creative thought put into this game was made with the intention of making the player uncomfortable and confused to the point of almost just genuine panic. The textures on nearly every surface are full of poorly drawn shading and eye-straining colors. Nearly every NPC is just a rude moron. Nearly every song sounds like it was composed almost accidentally. And every target at the end of every level is someone who's at risk of going against the wants of really, really powerful billionaires. This game has everything that could possibly desensitize the modern human. Being an assassin in a gig economy, lots and lots of gruesome killing, dull consumerism over lame commodities, a police force that will completely level your apartment complex if you forget to pay your rent, a police department that's also a huge cult, casinos, gigantic mega malls built on top of sacred burial grounds, libertarian cruise ships, completely unmoderated bioengineering, morally bankrupt CEOs, stock markets for their companies, organ harvesting, stock markets for those organs, fishing. Actually, fishing is pretty relaxing.
Stock markets for the fish.
If you want a game that's superbly experimental while also relentlessly spitting on the current state of the world, then consider checking out Cruelty Squad. All right, now I'm going to go ahead and talk to my three co-hosts about this game.
Wow.
Wow.
I knew about this already, actually.
So you did know that you missed it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't miss it. I've seen it.
Oh, wait.
Well, I missed it.
Did I say the tag?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're back from that. I didn't realize how angry I sounded in the recording until just now, but I'm Elias at WBCA 102.9 FM Boston, Boston's community radio station. This is Did You Know You Missed This? I'm here with my three co-hosts again.
On Mass Art Radio.
On Mass Art Radio. I was getting to it. I wasn't. I forgot.
Wow.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Richie.
I'm Eddie.
And just to make sure, I'm Elias.
Just to make sure. Are you Elias?
Yes.
Okay.
And Cruelty Squad. Wow.
Yeah, I was actually, this was originally going to be the game that I talked about last time, but I decided it was too aggressive to start with.
Oh, but second episode, it's all fine.
Yeah.
Well, because I got their attention. Like, we got a few downloads this time, so I'm like, yeah.
By the way,
19. Thank you
guys. Yeah. Wow. That made our little hearts pitter-patter. And we were like, wow, they love us.
Or they're making fun of us.
Or they're making
whichever
fun of us.
Is fine.
You know, all attention's good attention.
Yep.
It's a view.
It's a view.
So
anyway,
basically with this game, the reason I'm so obsessed with it is just because it goes against a bunch of stuff. Like, it's a typical run-of-the-mill, like, Hitman video game. You have a target at the end of every level, but it's just so gross. Like, the music I was just playing just now, behind my voice while I was talking about it, it's from this level where your dispatcher is like, okay, so basically this guy that's at the head of a government space agency is sending all these people to Mercury and the rocket won't kill enough people.
So rocket won't kill enough people.
Yeah. So he's just like, go in there and we're going to replace him with one of our like inserts that the shadow government has or whatever. And it's just like, it's not too astute. It's just this game that's very clearly depressed and scared because at like, if you enter the guy that made it, Ville Kallio, he's Finnish. The game was made in Finland. He always talks very softly about his subject. And whenever people ask, like, what was the inspiration? He just says, I was very depressed. And I didn't want to do anything. So I did everything wrong on purpose.
Yeah. And I mean, looking at the game, you can kind of see that. The graphics, crazy. Like, the visuals, the textures, everything, the models, it's just all so, like, not, like, abhorrently bad, but, like, abhorrently bad.
it reminds me a lot of the game Doom, which it definitely draws a lot of inspiration from, and that game is, like, famously so, like, I guess, you can play it on anything. People have been able to play it on, like, insulin pumps because of, like, just how, like, easy it is to do that because of the low quality, I guess, since it's older. Yeah. I was struggling to try to figure out how to say that. But one of the reasons why I've seen it before is because one of my friends was really into Doom and also all of the games that draw inspiration from Doom. Mm. So I've played a little of this. It's hard. I've played a little of, Ultra Kill, which is also another Doom ripoff. That game is so hard. I had no idea what I was doing. But
did you get to the part where they have like the coins?
No.
For context, there's a weapon in the game. I haven't played Ultra Kill, but I know that there's a weapon in Ultra Kill where your character flips a coin into the air, and if you shoot the coin midair, it will like immediately one hit kill a target nearby.
Wow.
No, I'm bad at games. I'm bad at Doom. Every time I finish a level, it says that the par was like 1 minute and I finished it in like 15.
That's actually so real. So do you want to talk a little bit more about Girlity Squad?
I'd say I just like want to talk about it as the idea of like discomfort art, because that was kind of the theme of last week's Did You Know You Missed This, where I talked about Rain World and how it messed with my head. This game was kind of similar, where I would be texting my friends and I'd be like, I love this game so much. It's a bad influence on my health and I need to stop.
That's actually so real.
And it's not like in the
sit and keep playing, even though you haven't like gotten up and eaten or done anything.
But it's like it's weird because it's not necessarily in the normal video game sense, like how you'll see people play League of Legends for hours on end. I think it's exactly like that.
No, I think it's like that. It's such a different game.
I've met plenty of people who will say, I hate this game. Well, back to the game.
Yeah.
That's exactly
how
I feel about this game.
Yeah, that's actually so real.
When you said bad for your health, I immediately thought about the visuals giving me a migraine.
Mm-hmm.
They
oh,
would.
Yeah.
They would.
Oh, major seizure warning for this game as well. The visuals, just such vibrant colors. I would not play it if you are prone to seizures. But it's part of the style.
Yeah,
definitely part of the style.
Yeah, I think basically, I'd say the best way to sum this game up is purposefully careless.
Mm-hmm. Purposefully careless. And, you know, that's a good thing sometimes. Let's get into our next segment.
Oh no! The movie I wanted to see this weekend has a bad score on Rotten Tomatoes.
You can still watch it and form your own opinion.
My mutual gave the movie I wanted to watch 2 stars on Letterboxd.
That's okay. You can still watch it and form your own opinion.
Hideo Kojima didn't say anything about the movie, just that he watched it. That means it sucks.
That's too bad, but you can still watch it and form your own opinion. Other people being critical of a movie doesn't mean you shouldn't see it and figure out how you feel about it. There's an audience for everything. Maybe you'll love it. Form your own opinion.
We'll be right back.
Hi, and we're back. This is WBCA 102.9 FM Boston, Boston Community's radio station. This is Mass Art Radio. And did you know you missed this? Today, I'm going to be talking about the movie Repo: The Genetic Opera. Also, the song that just played was Professional Killer by KMFDM. I thought that this connected both me and Elias's subjects because his game was about a professional killer. And there's a main character in Repo that is also a professional killer. And both of these things involved, what was it? The organ harvesting. That is a big thing in Repo. So I have a 5-minute little snippet where I discussed the movie with my roommates. And also there's a bit of the trailer, so it gives some context for what this movie is.
By the middle of the 21st century, organ failure had become a worldwide epidemic. But GeneCo was there to satisfy the demand for organ replacements. The problem is, if you miss a payment, GeneCo sends out the repo man. And when he finds you, your time is up.
This payment is past due.
Everybody, everybody, oh yeah! Stand up! People, people, people! Woo! Everybody, everybody, everybody!
Hi, it's Eddie here for Did You Know You Missed This? And me and my roommates just watched Repo: The Genetic Opera, except for Abby, who was at an Olivia Rodrigo concert, and she saw like the last 15 minutes. Leah, what did you think?
The film had really nice visuals. I really loved the aesthetic. It was giving like gothic early 2000s like Evanescence style music video. Like I was waiting for Amy Lee to like step out into the scene. Also, Shiloh reminded me of Alice from the American McGee series, which I appreciated. Yeah, aesthetically the film was really cool, and I really liked some of the costuming for the female characters, but something I didn't like also regarding the female characters is how male gazey it was. Like there were a lot of like, I mean, I get it like for the time period or whatever, but I feel like the way that women were represented in the film were just kind of as like sex objects, and I didn't really love that.
Sophia, do you have any thoughts?
I have a lot of thoughts. Okay, so first of all, I am familiar with this movie. I've seen it before. And I love it. I recognize that it's not the best, you know, movie musical on the planet, but I love it. I will say, however, though, that the director's like opinions in regards to opera as a genre are a bit controversial. I do not think that Repo: The Genetic Opera is changing the game in terms of rock opera at all. But hey, we can try. Am I right, folks?
Yeah, for context, after the movie, I found out that it used to be a stage play, and I watched some, we put some videos about, you know, the making of, we put that on the TV, and we watched it, and the one of the writers for it kept saying, Repo's reinventing opera, it's making opera cool.
Have we not seen Jesus Christ Superstar? Have we not seen Les Mis? Come on, folks.
But yeah, he does cite that as his inspirations, but it's just like, this is a pretty obscure movie. I don't think that it really revived anything.
I mean, you can't just say there's no talking in an opera. That's like objectively not true. And he was even talking in this movie. Like,
yep.
I don't understand. Okay. Okay, you know what? He called his opera Wagnerian, and I see it, okay? Because you know who was, like, the most unbearable human being when it came to writing operas? Wagner, okay? He literally had, like, what, like an 8-hour opera with zero intermissions and forced everybody to sit there the whole time. That is literally exactly what that director was acting like, okay? Dude clearly has no idea what he's talking about. He hasn't even listened to anything besides his own music.
Clearly. Speaking of the music, even though this is a movie that I'm recommending and that I like, honestly, only one of the songs was listenable. Is anyone else attest to that? Or?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The Zydrate song is actually peak. I love that song. Everything else, though, instant skip. Skip to the whole album until you get to the Zydrate song. Who cares?
Zydrate comes in a little glass vial.
What do you know about the opera music?
I found out about this movie a while ago, like when I was in high school, but that was before I had watched any horror movies before, except for Scream, so I thought that I'd be like too squeamish to watch Repo. So I waited until college to watch it, and honestly, after watching it, it made me realize that I watched it a little too late because it is something that is very geared to teenagers. That's not a bad thing at all, but it just made me think that I missed out in listening to it in class, like during my art class on YouTube with the ads, with my phone turned over so my teacher couldn't tell what I was listening to. And yeah, I think that it's worth looking into, but just know that it's not the best movie ever. It's just fun, and it's interesting, and it's cool, but definitely not going to win an Oscar anytime soon. Well, especially because it came out in 2008, but you know, what can you do?
And sometimes bad movies are good movies.
I agree.
Yeah. So, Repo, did you guys know you missed this?
I did know.
I did know as well. Well, my sibling actually told me like 2 years ago that I should watch Repo, the Genetic Opera. And then my dad at the same place, same time goes, actually, you should watch Repo Man first.
Oh, yeah.
Repo Man is a dad movie. Absolutely.
Oh, totally.
No relation between the two at all, by the way, for anyone who's confused. This is not a sequel or anything.
Oh, no. They just both have this Repo in the title.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been on my letterbox for like 2 years now, and I really need to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've known of it since I was like 11 or something, 11 or 12. And yet I still haven't watched it because it just always slips my mind. It no longer slips my mind, though, because why is Paris Hilton in it?
So I read an article today about this because I was wondering the same thing. And apparently,
For clarification, I do mean like Paris Hilton of That's Hot fame.
Yes.
Like the Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I went into it assuming that maybe she knew someone who was a producer, but I looked it up. She earned that audition. She was actually not like let in to audition. And then she came in anyway in like full costume and she sang her heart out and they were like, oh, we need her. And she also raised some money for the movie when it wasn't getting funding. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's crazy that like, I mean, seeing the aesthetics of the movie and seeing Paris Hilton, you know, like I don't see those two aesthetics really merging, but it's crazy that like she really wanted this movie to go on.
Oh, she really wanted to. And honestly, it makes sense because in 2005, she was in a horror movie called House of Wax. And,
oh, I didn't know that.
A lot of the marketing also was See Paris Die. That was, yeah, that was a big part of it. And yeah, it makes sense that she went on to do another horror movie because I think she really enjoyed it. And yeah, I don't know. I found that story really interesting. And also, another person who was in that movie who is like unexpected because he's a musician. The guy from Skinny Puppy, his stage name is Ogre. He's also in that movie, and I looked up why. He knew a producer. So,
wow, incredible. Yeah. There's a lot of connections in this movie.
Yeah, no, it's funny because you'd assume that Paris Hilton was there because of nepotism. No, she earned that, and the guy from Skinny Puppy, total nepotism. So,
and,
yeah.
And it's this like rock opera type thing.
Yeah, it's like an industrial-ish electronic opera. It's some of the music is listenable, some of it is not. I said there's one listenable song. That's not necessarily true. I think there are other songs that have parts that are listenable.
Well, it also depends on your taste, obviously.
Well, yeah, yeah. Repo, the Genetic Opera is a very strange movie directed by the director of several Saw movies. That is a horror musical.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes. Darren Lynn Bousman. I don't know if that's pronounced correctly. But yeah, he directed a bunch of the Saw movies, and he also directed this, which is a horror musical starring Paris Hilton, among others. It's interesting. I think that and it's about organ harvesting. It's about, like, instead of the bank repossessing your belongings, they could represent your organs. And, yeah, if that sounds interesting, give it a try. Just know that if you're disappointed, it's not my fault.
It's not on us. It's not on us.
It's just, it's fun. Give it a try. Maybe you'll like it.
Well, I'll definitely have to watch that soon.
And without further ado, this is Zydrate Anatomy, sung by the Repo the Genetic Opera cast, including Paris Hilton, Alex Vega, and Terrence Zadunik. Enjoy! I can't feel nothing at all.
Drug market, submarket. Sometimes I wonder why I ever got in. Blood market, love market. Sometimes I wonder why they need me at all. Zydrate comes in a little glass vial.
A little glass vial?
And the little glass vial goes into the gun like a battery. And the Zydrate gun goes somewhere against your anatomy. And when the gun goes off, it sparks and you're ready for surgery. Surgery.
Grave robber. Grave robber. Sometimes I wonder why I even bother. Grave robber. Grave robber. Sometimes I wonder why.
Is addicted to the knife.
Addicted to the knife?
Addicted to the knife.
And addicted to the knife, she needs a little help with the agony.
Agony.
And a little help comes in a little glass vial and a gun pressed against her anatomy. And when the gun goes off, Miss Sweet is ready for surgery. Surgery. It takes me there. Before the cut. I can do nothing at all. Cause surgery is what I need to change inside. Mag's contract's got some mighty fine print.
Some mighty fine print?
And that mighty fine print puts Mag in a mighty fine predicament. If Mag up and splits, her eyes are forfeit. And if Gene Cohen Roddy, so will it. Then a repo man will come and she'll pay for that surgery. 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 Surgery.
What even is emo music?
It's like that screamy, moody stuff, right?
Oh, well, it's bands like MCR, FOB, PATD.
The only real emo is the emotional hardcore that came out of the 90s DC scene, like Rites of Spring. Anything else is just whiny, poser.
I thought it was like the stuff people on MySpace liked.
Well, which wave are you talking about? Second, third? Fifth wave post-hardcore with Midwest influence? Actually, emo was a derogatory term popularized by major label heads trying to commodify the scene and make bands sell out. So you really shouldn't call any band emo. Everyone, shut up! Emo is such a vague term that has come to mean a lot of things over time. Yes, the genre started to emerge with the 90s DC hardcore scene, but the subculture and mainstream understanding has evolved to include tons of other bands. Music that is considered culturally emo does not always fit in the genre of emo, and vice versa. Plus, the scene has always been a tangled mess of associations and friendships and genre bending.
Emo just became a catch-all for a lot of people because no one wants to listen to you explain all the little nuances of the genres of bands they've never heard of.
Pop punk, Midwest, indie emo, scrams, sasscore, swancore.
Everyone just take a deep breath, relax, and stop being so darn pretentious about the definition of emo. Just because it's emotional doesn't mean it has to be miserable. But also, like, do your research and don't just throw the word around.
Hello. It is me again. You are still listening to Bessart Radio. I just love Bessart Radio. I just love Bessart Radio.
Hello, I'm your final host, Richie, with Mass Art Radio on WBCA 102.9 FM, Boston's community radio station. And did you know you missed the band Recover? As described on the old Fueled by Ramen website, Recover is a four-piece out of Austin, Texas. The group, after playing two other genres, finally found a home in the melodic hardcore end of the spectrum. With an absolutely out-of-hand stage presence, Recover delivers pure rock that gets any audience moving, be it five kids at a public park or 500 kids in a concrete-floored stage house. The quartet includes Robert Mann, guitar and metal voice, Dan Keyes, guitar and NSYNC-esque vocals, Ross Tweedy, bass and headbanging, and Jimmy Vela, drums and ruckus. And this is their song, Bad Timing, All Right, off the 2002 release, C'est si n'est pas recover.
If it's bad timing, it's all right. If it's bad timing, it's just fine.
That's the band Recover. They're one of my favorites, and in my opinion, such like an underrated emo band, especially because like no one really considers them emo from what I can tell. Most people, like, they describe themselves as like melodic hardcore, and like I've heard them described as post-hardcore, but in my opinion, they are like quintessential emo. Not just my opinion, but also Amy Fleischer-Madden, who is the like founder of Fiddler Records,
She recently released this book called Negatives, and in it wrote a little bit about the band Recover in this quote that I just think describes it so well. She says, of the EP, Sesina Pa Recover, which that song is off of, these five songs became an emo how-to guide that was often mimicked but never recreated. A candid conversation with any other band of this era will reveal that this EP was the impetus for the stylistic change in emo during the early 2000s, where they took on a heavier, more artful, and more dramatic turn. And I think that that is like such a good description of the band Recover. They had like this sound to them that was like listening back now, like there are tons of bands that sound kind of similar, but like at the time it was really like kind of cutting edge with how cohesive everything was.
Yeah, like I mean, I've listened to a couple of emo like bands and I just can't name them off the top of my head, honestly, but like that sound is so like prominent now.
Yeah.
Like the sound that Recover has, at least that song that you played for us, it's so prominent. You hear it like a lot. Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting them to, when you were saying they were like cutting edge before this, like while we were talking about making this, I was not expecting them to like sound so familiar, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, I feel like the word familiar, especially like talking about them now in retrospect, is like very true. There are so many bands that like took on that sound that maybe were like a bit more traditionally hardcore and just like not that clean kind of basement sounding beforehand. But after like 2002-ish and after like Recover kind of got their sound and like they toured with like a million bands. So like people knew about them at the time. Like people just kind of started to grab onto that like dramatic and like heavier sound outside of just like screaming nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad that they like broke up when they did, especially because they broke up due to joining a major label. They put out like their first two releases on two different indies and then got signed to the Universal Music Group in like 2003, 2004. Under this like new thing called Strummer, which was like a sub-label, I guess.
Which I thought was like had some ties to Joe Strummer from The Clash, but it totally doesn't. It totally doesn't.
Yeah, but it was the president was Gary Gersh, who had like signed Nirvana to Universal. And I think that signing Nirvana and then having...
Would you like to tell us the last song that you're going to play from Recover?
Oh, yeah, to send you all off onto your journey to become emo through the band Recover. This is the song Disappear off the album This May Be the Year I Disappear.
And thank you guys once again for listening to Did You Know You Missed This from Mass Art Radio on WBCA, excuse me, LP 102.9 FM Boston, Boston's community radio station. This was Did You Know You Missed This with me, Kevin.
Me, Elias.
Me, Eddie.
And me, Richie.
Just 'cause I wander doesn't mean I'm lost. Come with me.
Hello. You are listening to Mass-Art Radio. You are Mass-Art Radio. Mass-Art Radio. Mass-Art. 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 Radio.
Un galeno più di postale.